Today on Seculo, it's Election Eve, and what do Democrats like their leader Joe Biden declare? A war on American independence. We'll talk about that today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls on Election Day Eve, 1-800-684-3110. We want to hear from you wherever you are across the country because there are so many battleground states. There's more than just, you know, a handful, and because so many races have now become too close to call this Election Day Eve. We know there's been a lot of early voting, but, you know, when you look at Florida and early voting, Republicans are outpacing Democrats. So it's not always... The trends are not always the same as they have been in the past. There's also, of course, always this silent vote that people are looking for that pollsters don't pick up on. I mean, I'm not in one of the states that's got really the most hot button races in the country. So I definitely wasn't getting polling calls. But if you were, we'd love to hear from you, too. Are you going to be voting on Election Day? A lot of you put that in the chat. Have you made your plans for Election Day voting? Because remember, 15, 16 states have put in new election integrity laws that may make it take a little longer, not because, again, of any voter suppression, but because the election workers are using a system they may have only used once, and that was for the primaries when they kind of learned the system. So we want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. Do you believe that that we're going to see the red wave that so many are predicting? And will we know? The second question for you all is, do you think we'll actually know?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow, very late night, early morning of Wednesday.
You know what I know? I know that Facebook doesn't like us talking about elections.
I bet not.
Because I'm looking at Facebook, and the number of people watching on Facebook has not moved literally in 2.5 minutes. So, you know, that's why we're talking about it. And that's why we're glad we're on Rumble, and we're glad that we're on these broadcast stations around the country, including SiriusXM. Look, I think the states are going to try to get results as quick as they can. I don't think that in light of everything that's happened, I don't think it's better for them to let it go. Having said that, Pennsylvania is already saying it's going to take days. That race, by the way, they're saying it is literally neck and neck. I mean, there's like no light between the two candidates. I'm not sure. Georgia looks like the Kemp has really pulled away with it. We'll get more into this later. But then when you have Joe Biden challenging on fossil fuel, saying we're going to be no drilling, so we're going to be energy dependent. That's their message going into tomorrow. We're going to maintain energy dependence. That's really great.
Yeah, I mean, so I want you to take a listen. This is first Joe Biden. He gets into it with a protester. But Joe Biden's on mic, so this is not like one of those hard to understand. Well, it's always a little hard to, you got to kind of interpret him. But he was pretty clear this time. Take a listen, Biden 18.
No more drilling. There is no more drilling. I haven't formed any new drilling. No, I. That was before I was president. We're trying to work on that, get that done.
Okay, so that's good. He also wants to get rid of offshore drilling in the Atlantic and the, what's he talking about, the Arctic? Antarctic. But and the Gulf of Mexico. But then on top of that, remember the Democrats always say that there's always this land available to drill in? He's just said, no more drilling. I'm not going to approve any more drilling. This is while Americans are getting hurt at the pump, and they're about to vote. And his message is, I don't want America to be independent. We'd rather be relying on what the Saudis decide to do one day or the Venezuelans.
But the idea that in 19 months, 20 months, we've gone from energy independence to total energy dependence, including against on the Venezuelans and the Saudis, shows you how far we've come. And we're going to talk more about this attack. The attack on energy, by the way, is attack on all of us because it impacts everything. We need to be clear of what's at stake tomorrow, and that is the future direction of the United States of America. Don't kid yourself for a moment. This is an election of significant consequence because which way the country goes is what's going to be decided here. And that's what the American people are going to have to be looking at.
Yeah, so we want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call. Tell us about your state or your congressional district. This is your opportunity to do that, to get out the vote on your own. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back. 1-800-684-3110. So, you know, we played the soundbite on No More Drilling. And then, different event, this is President Biden. Now, this is literally the, you know, while people are there's early voting that still exists in some states, but certainly tomorrow with Election Day voting. And this is the final message from the President of the United States, the leader of the Democrat Party, which means everybody with a D next to their name on the ballot tomorrow, if they haven't distanced themselves in the next 24 hours from this exact statement, believes what Joe Biden says. No more drilling, no more permits, and how about no more coal either? Kentucky vote, you know, think about this, people who are in the Rust Belt. Think about what this means to so many livelihoods right now. They don't have jobs to replace these jobs with. They don't have energy to replace this energy source with. They want to go begging the Saudis, begging the Venezuelans. We cut off the Russian energy. So take a listen, because it's not just the war on oil or offshore drilling. It's the war on coal.
No one's building new coal plants because they can't rely on it, even if they have all the coal guaranteed for the rest of the existence of the plant. So it's going to become a wind generation. And all they're doing is they're going to save them a lot of money and using the same transmission line that transmitted the coal-fired electric on. We're going to be shutting these plants down all across America.
Listen to that. We're going to be shutting plants down all across America. Joe Manchin, who, I hope we put in a position where he's not that influential.
But boy.
In the U.S. Senate. But this is what he had to say. And that's why I said, unless you're a Democrat like Joe Manchin who comes out and actually makes this statement, I am putting what the president said is something you support, Tim Ryan, in like Ohio.
Right.
You must support getting rid of all these jobs. Because or else you need a press release out too right now saying like what Joe Manchin said, being cavalier about the loss of coal jobs for men and women in West Virginia and across the country who literally put their lives on the line to help build and power this country is offensive and disgusting. That is what the most important
Democrat member of the Senate from West Virginia.
Yes, just called the president's language, President Biden, offensive and disgusting.
Let me tell you what this means. This means that they realize a day before the election that things are going in the wrong direction. But Biden chose, the president of the United States chose to double down when asked about the energy issue. The area that the country feels most vulnerable. This is what I don't understand. The country feels most vulnerable about energy independence and energy dependence, and yet he gets at the question and he doubles down on it again. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, this is what we have seen is that it's not only oil, it's now natural gas. So I want to go to the phones on 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Ronnie in Tennessee on line one. Hey, Ronnie.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to comment on the red wave. Based on what I'm hearing about what polls are, the points are too close together. It's like 2 points ahead or two or even. There's no polling that shows any candidate nationwide in these races that is just overwhelmingly like 15 or 20 points ahead.
Those days are over.
So it seems, it seems as if it's just too close. It's like the margin of error. So
yeah, I agree with you.
15 and 20 point days are over. The country's 50.
I mean, there's a couple gubernatorial races where the governors are extremely popular, and so like we see that in Ohio. It's just not adding up the same, and that's just because Mike DeWine is a very known figure there and very well liked by both sides of the aisle. So that there's one, you know, outlier kind of. But I say, Ronnie, when we say wave, it does not mean that you better get all your friends to vote tomorrow. Like Rick Grenell said, drag them to vote. Because, like Ronnie said, he's correct. None of these polls show anyone running away with it, which means it's whoever turns out the voters. Now, some voters have already been turned out with early voting, but there's anybody can win based off the votes tomorrow. No one has lost because of the early voting. You can still win if you get more voters to the poll. Now, when we talk about the wave, when I define the wave, it's not that we're winning a bunch of races by 10 points. It's that we win a bunch of races by 2 points. But then when you look at nationally, that we've gone into congressional districts in California and South Texas, where we Rhode Island. Yeah, Rhode Island too, where we would not usually be playing as conservatives. And yeah, the New Hampshire Senate race. Again, we're going to win some and lose some, but if you're winning more than losing the two-point races, that could lead up. That could be a red wave.
But what's when we defining, I think this is important. The red wave is the number of seats at the end of the day in the House and Senate and the governorships and those kind of things. It is not how much you win by, because the country is so evenly divided that a four-point spread right now would be a landslide. I mean, really, if it was 52-48, oh, easily won. In the old days, that would be considered very close.
Yes. So I think that again, that's where we want to set the stage. Now, tonight, you're going to get the dueling Biden-Trump rallies. You'll see all of that. I think Trump is in Ohio. Biden will be in Maryland. Now, there's another one. Maryland?
Yeah.
Why is he there?
It's close by.
But you know why? Because no one wants him in a state that actually, like, he should be. If the president was effective, he'd be in Ohio, too.
What do you're picking up all this, we all are, that the president, former president, may announce tonight.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of news. Listen, his team has said, he's gotten very close to saying it every rally. We even noticed things like the signs started saying Trump, farmers for Trump, like campaign signs just last week and over the weekend. So I think, again, it could happen at any moment between now and the next week or so. It looks like it's going to happen. I mean, now what's interesting is it happens tonight. We'll be talking about it tomorrow because it's a risk. What he's going all in on is that the wave that we're defining, which is, again, J.D. Vance winning by 2-3 points. It doesn't need to be a blowout. I mean, it's great if it is, but let's all assume right now we're behind and we need to get the conservative vote out. That's what I need each of you to do, every one of us to do. We need to get our friends out to vote. Our conservative friends need to go and vote. Sometimes they're going to have to wait in line 2 hours. They need to make sure they wait in line 2 hours. It's that important. But he will then take credit because a lot of these candidates, I will say this, especially the statewide candidates, were candidates that McConnell wasn't necessarily happy with.
Right.
And they were Trump-backed. So if his candidates win and there's a red wave and he announced the night before, he then says, see, I got nothing to afraid of associating with me. In fact, all my people won and we did better in place. The risk of that is the J.D. Vances and Oz, they're right on the line. So you could be announcing the day before we lose a bunch of races closely, or that it's just, again, so I think, again, it's an interesting balance, and I wonder, too, if he's just putting this out there to get a lot of attention to it.
Could be.
The night before the election. So because networks have not been giving those rallies much attention. They show some clips every once in a while, but no one's gone live. Some of our friends who are conservative broadcasters.
Is Newsmax going live?
I think they do.
Yeah.
But
it's like the OANs and the right side broadcastings of the internet
more
world.
Online.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Fox isn't breaking it at all.
No, but if he puts out a statement, if the campaign's putting out.
Oh, you know everybody kind of be watching tonight.
Yes.
So you can
Democrats,
see-
too, by the way. They will try to say, does he do or say anything in that speech that they can utilize very quickly?
Well, let's you've done presidential campaigns.
There's
so let's say they do something tonight and he says,
well,
he announces.
Just did. If Biden, you know, like you don't want Trump to do what Biden just did on. Biden, obviously, he's not going to do it about drilling and natural gas, but something comparative to that. Something that's just so off-putting that they're able in 24 hours to spin it. It's again, you're always, it's better for conservatives to think that our guys are in the battleground states and they got Joe Biden hiding in Maryland.
Right.
So that tells you almost everything you need to know
right
there.
Let's take another call.
Yeah, let's go to Elder in Virginia on line 4. Hey, Elder.
How are you doing, Jay? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My comment is the fact that Republicans need to wake up and realize that these polls that are saying we are ahead may very well be a ploy of the enemy. The Democrats will put out that information to cause Republicans to sit at home. When the Republicans say, hey, we're 10 points ahead, well, I haven't got a vote.
Yeah, I'll tell you, though, there's not many polls where people are saying they're 10 points ahead.
No.
I mean, you know, I think
like
the best I've seen, the most comfortable lead, I think, is probably Laxalt and Vance, right? And those are like 4 points.
Yeah, like
3 points.
Kerry Lake, Gubernatorial.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vance, one poll is above 7, but like, you got to go vote like he's down 10.
Because these polls could be off 3 points.
We
and
know
that's
that. They're not exact these days because, well, they've never been exact, but because of cell phones, people moving around the country very, you know, it's not like the old days where you basically.
People not wanting to participate?
Yeah, there's also a huge bias. I mean, like, how many of you, if you just got a poll from a random call from a random person said, do you support Donald Trump, or just hang up the phone? Do you really want to get into that? You don't even know who you're telling.
Right.
And is that going to affect your, you know, job? We've seen that happen. Now, we are starting to see finally more fact-checking of the Democrats getting the taste of their own medicine on Twitter.
Yep.
Biden again from the official POTUS account, tweeted out right now the most common price at gas stations across the country is $3.19 per gallon. That's progress. Of course, he used this most common gas price, which is a different way of measuring gas prices, which are actually the average, which is what everybody usually talks about, is $3.80. So Twitter put in context. This again, you know, and it's funny, he fired half the staff. Facebook's about to fire half their staff. I don't see the liberals freaking out about that.
No.
Because it's Mark Zuckerberg doing it. But, you know, Elon Musk gets rid of a bunch of, again, wasted staff at Twitter.
All right, let's talk about staffing. Your support of the ACLJ keeps all this going. And we're in a matching challenge campaign for November, and your support makes a huge difference. I want to encourage you, if you're able, to make a gift to the ACLJ at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. That's aclj.org. Back with more on the life issue coming right up.
All right, welcome back to Secchio. Of course, on the ballot, some states, and Kentucky is one of those, where Senator Rand Paul, that's not getting a lot of attention, that race. Looks like Senator Paul's in great shape there in Kentucky. But what it has gotten attention is the ballot initiative in Kentucky, because there's both a ballot initiative to protect human life. So it's a yes vote, which pro-life activists are asking to voters to do. But again, people are very hesitant right now. There's not been a ton of time for education. The other side has been doing a good job kind of misleading people, and people aren't really sure what they're voting on. It's pretty clear there if you actually take the time to read this one. It says, to protect human life, nothing in the Constitution will be construed to secure or protect a right to abortion or require the funding of abortion. That's it. So it's not a confusing language if you even – but if someone's been waiting in line 2 hours and they think that their idea is, okay, I'm really in here for the votes, I don't know about changing our Constitution.
It's not going to – it's going to pass, right?
Not pass.
Yeah, not pass.
And then the court – which held a case for this to see if it passed, will then be a deciding factor.
Frank Manion's with us, who works out of our office in Kentucky. And Frank, we have filed in the Supreme Court of Kentucky. Just walk everybody through quickly what's at stake here.
Sure. I mean, what this amendment is really about is who gets to decide about abortion in Kentucky? Who gets to regulate? Who gets to decide what is a reasonable or an unreasonable regulation? Is it the legislature, which gets voted in by the people, or is it four members of the Kentucky Supreme Court? What a no vote on this amendment would put Kentucky in the same position the rest of the country's been in for the last 50 years with Roe v. Wade. Congress tries to pass regulations, or states try to pass regulation of abortion, goes up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court says, nope, right to privacy, Roe v. Wade. Well, that's what's going to happen in Kentucky if the no vote wins. The yes vote, contrary to every single TV ad I've seen, and I'm in the Louisville market, contrary to that, a yes vote will not make a single abortion in Kentucky illegal. It doesn't illegalize or legalize any abortions. It just says this is the legislature's job. It's not the job of four justices on the Kentucky Supreme Court.
What's your thought with where this? I mean, we filed in a lot of cases where this is going in with the Kentucky Supreme Court as it now sits.
Yeah, I mean, as a voter, I'm kind of pessimistic, Jay, because I'm telling you, the ads have been so misleading. I mean, more than misleading. The ads come on and say, if this amendment passes, there will be no exceptions whatsoever for any abortions, life of the mother. Simply not true under the current law. As far as the Kentucky Supreme Court, we have a chance. It looks like it's a fairly sharply divided court. It is an elected court in Kentucky, and that may have some, you know, influence. Some
because states are not always elected Supreme Courts. I mean, sometimes they're appointed.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've got but this is, folks, just so you know, for the ACLJ, CeCe, this is one of a lot of cases we're involved in right now.
Absolutely. And just like Frank said, that oral argument, if this ballot initiative doesn't pass in Kentucky, there's an oral argument in the Supreme Court next week, which we filed an amicus brief on that. We actually have filed amicus briefs in Oklahoma, South Carolina, Kentucky, Michigan, and Idaho defending life. And we're working on two more amicus briefs. Yes, for two more states.
Yeah, we'll be representing the state legislatures in that.
Yep. And on top of that, we represent eight pregnancy resource centers around the United States. A lot of those are in states where the states are targeting and going after pregnancy resource centers, calling them fake clinics, which is always the spin that they do. So we have 8 of those, and we're in discussions with several more pregnancy resource centers to defend them. We have a Third Circuit case. Sorry.
Yeah, hang on 1 second. But I just want to, because it's a lot for people to digest here. This is just, you're getting a sample of what our case involvement is right now. And I want to go back to Frank for a second. Hang on to the Third Circuit one. And Frank, that doesn't include, of course, what we're doing in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals with Planned Parenthood. She's about to mention the Third Circuit. And the fact that on the life issue, these crisis pregnancy centers are on the front lines, these pregnancy resource centers, especially in states like California and New York.
Jay, we're hearing from them every single day. I mean, we can barely keep up with the requests for help. And many of them, they're just worried because there's legislation being talked about, but it's going to be passed in these pro-abortion states. And they're submitting, they're subjecting them to inquisitions and turnover all of your records because we know you're fake. That's what we're investigating, but we already know you are. It's that type of thing. And we're doing our best to keep up with the requests that keep coming in. And as Cece said, we've already signed up 8 as clients, and we're talking to probably another half a dozen at the moment.
And folks, this is why your support of the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan, for people watching, is really so critical. Because whether it's this broadcast where you get the information out or the actual legal work that's being done literally from coast to coast, it doesn't happen without their support, without our members' support, our friends' support.
No, absolutely. And we have a massive challenge right now at ACLJ.org, so it's a great time. If you've thought about donating to us and you're someone, if you've been donating to campaigns, you're in that position to make a financial contribution, we encourage you to do it at ACLJ.org. And, if you've had in this situation too where maybe you were usually saying, I could usually donate $100, but this month maybe I could still donate, but I can't donate as much. This is a great time to do that too. If you've had to cut back on your donations, you can still double the impact of your donation here. So if a normal month you would donate $100 to ACLJ, but this month maybe it's $50. Well, because of the matching challenge, that $50 is like that $100. So even if you've had to cut back a little, we understand that. We want you to support our work at ACLJ.org and know that this is a great time because you can double the impact of your money, of your donation.
And we literally have cases going on from coast to coast, including in the federal courts. Don't forget, we just won at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit where the ACLJ represented Governor Noem on a pro-life informed consent law, and we won. I mean, where we're representing the governor. In some of these other cases, we're representing the state legislature. So you understand the nature and scope of what we're doing. We've got some big cases coming up, too.
Right. So in the Third Circuit, we actually have a sidewalk counselor case, which, again, we've represented these for decades. We have an appeals brief there in the Third Circuit due in 2 weeks. And then in the Sixth Circuit, we actually have our oral argument coming up in one of our cases where we're defending another sidewalk counselor, and that's on December 8th. So it's a constant battle to defend life, and we're doing that on the federal level still. We're doing that at the state level, and we have so many cases that are going on, especially defending sidewalk counselors and pregnancy resource centers.
Frank, the work on the life issue has changed in the sense that you don't have a federal constitutional right to abortion, but it's very clear it's not over.
Oh, it's definitely not over. In fact, it seems to be multiplying. There's a lot of pro-abortion states out there, and they're as zealous on their side as we would like to think we are on our side, Jay.
Folks, we're going to fight this good fight as we have been since 1987. Since 1987, we've been standing up for life. Some of our lawyers, Frank included, and I have done it before there was even formal ACLJs or Free Speech Advocates or CASE or any of these groups. We were doing it individually, standing for life. That commitment on life has not stopped. It is, in fact, intensified. Because now it's going to come down to these state court decisions, and I want people to understand this. We are committed to defending the value of human life. And if that means going to the state courts or going to the state legislatures, working with other groups and to get those positions forward on referendums, reviewing legislative language, all of that is something we're committed to at the ACLJ. And this is where you come in. We want to encourage you, if you're able to, only if you're able, to make a donation of any amount to the American Center for Law and Justice. We're in a matching challenge campaign. November and December, I can't even believe we're here already, are the two most important months of our year. It determines our budget for the next year. Your support will make a huge difference. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't done so already, to go to ACLJ.org. And any amount you can donate, make that donation today, and we're going to get a matching gift. So it's at aclj.org, and your voice will really make a difference. Let me encourage you to do it again. aclj.org. You could have a dramatic impact on our work going forward. aclj.org. Back in the next half hour in just a moment.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we're on the eve, of course, of Election Day. We know a lot of votes are already in the bucket, if you will, but there will be plenty more. In fact, you know, on Election Day, no one has won. You know, and you could still lose based off turnout. You know, I mean, Republicans, we could literally lose every one of these races.
Yes, they're that close.
There's a couple maybe that would be tougher. But the statewide races, you got to turn out the vote. You got to turn out your friends and family to vote. It is, you're going to see whatever misleading ads anybody had left, they're going to be running it today. They're going to be emailing it out today. You got the competing rallies. You got Joe Biden hiding in Maryland. And you got Donald Trump going right out to Ohio. One of the bigger battleground races in the country was just in Pennsylvania yesterday. I would say that's probably the tightest race that, at least what we're picking up in polling. So I want to go right to the phones in Pennsylvania because Kimberly's calling from there online too. Hey, Kimberly, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. So I just want to let you know we are Mastriano all the way.
Oh. Okay, I guess she's voting for Mastriano for Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I feel like I think what she says, she knows it's neck and neck. And I think that's where, if you're in Pennsylvania.
Mastriano, the numbers, actually, he's further behind. But, you know, but Oz is even, which tells me.
I think that those polls are weird. Like, yeah. When you have Kemp up so much and Herschel so close. Now, I did hear some voters. This scared me a little bit. Now, they were talking to CNN, and who knows how many people I had to go through to find the one voter who said this. But I heard a voter yesterday as I was going through the different news outlets who said, you know, they're strong Republican voters. They are all the way down. They left Herschel's blank. And what they're going to do is they think there'll be a runoff, and they said if it's determinative, they'll go and vote for Herschel. But if not, they won't vote for Herschel.
I heard that, too. I mean,
I feel like CNN probably had to interview 300 people to get to that one person, because if that was happening in mass, I think we'd pick it up better.
But it's odd that Kemp would be 8 points up and Herschel be dead
Stacey
even.
Abrams is freaking out.
Oh, she's already, I mean, the statements she's making are.
We'll get into it a little bit later, but yeah, first it was it's voter suppression, then it's the highest black voter turnout in history.
Yeah.
Now it's
misinformation
because black male voters aren't all voting for her.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise. I mean, first of all, I think we've seen that trend since Trump that different minority groups have said, you know, we're not going to be in line with the Democrat Party anymore.
Yeah, so that's part of it. It's a free country. That's what happens.
Hey, Kimberly, you're back with us in Pennsylvania.
No, she's not. Let's go to Bob in New Mexico. Hey, Bob.
Hello. I just wanted to ask a question. Should the conservatives take power in both houses of Congress during this midterm? Does Congress have any power to counter executive orders beyond controlling the power of the purse?
They can control the power. They do control the power of the purse.
So you can make some of those executive orders meaningless.
So, for instance, 87,000 new IRS agents.
That was legislation, but it wasn't appropriated yet.
Right. So on an appropriations bill, they could say no.
Yes. On foreign policy, it's tougher. On domestic, they absolutely can because they stop it by not appropriating the
funds. The money can stop. The flow
the
of the funds.
The law might be there technically, but you can't fund the funds.
They get another special counsel appointed. Congress could say, yeah, we're not going to fund that again.
That's, right.
Yeah. I mean, so all those could
happen. There's the lame duck session.
Yep.
In the lame duck session, the Democrats, remember, if you did have a wave where a bunch of Republicans are coming in and Nancy Pelosi's been fired from her job, they don't care. Right, they're all getting fired, so they're going home in 2 months, a lot of them, and so they start voting for things they would never have voted yes on because they were in tight races. Now suddenly,
yep.
I mean that's what we said, those most dangerous times, those transition times. Absolutely, there'll be a lot of work to do, but we want to be able to celebrate on Wednesday, at some point.
Hopefully, Tuesday night late, we're going to have a good idea. But there's some states are saying it may go into Wednesday and Thursday. They are trying to. Everybody's saying get it over with. Yeah, move these quickly. Get this voting done.
Philadelphia needs to count their votes.
Don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ as we close this segment out.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a matching challenge right now. You can double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And again, it's a great time to support our work if you can financially. And you can double the impact, whatever you can give, at ACLJ.org. Be right back. All right, welcome back to Secular. You know, there's a lot of talk, too. Obviously, we do a lot of work on election integrity. Now, I want you all, as voters right now, you got to just get out the vote. Get out the vote. Get your friends out to vote. And if issues arise after the fact, that's why attorneys like us exist. That's why, you know, and I think people are much more ready, prepared, especially the campaigns, because they saw the goofiness. No one wants that goofiness. Everybody wants to be able to clearly define, at least within 24 hours, who won in some of these states. I get, like, in Georgia, for instance, because that runoff rule, you got to count every vote if it's close. Like, you could be up like 8 points, but you still got to count every vote to see if you were.
In Georgia, it's 50% plus one. Somebody has to break, Andy, the 50 threshold, right?
That's right. It's got to be 50% of the vote plus one vote in order. So if you don't get that, you go into a runoff.
I mean, it takes
likely
every vote.
Tonight. I mean, likely tonight. So
tomorrow night.
You have to be, tomorrow. So you have to be fair on states where you've got rules like that. They got to vote. They can't just say, oh, this person's so far ahead. You can predict who's likely won the night, but that doesn't matter in Georgia if you don't get to that threshold. But where I think it's going to get, again, it's very late for people that are, if you're talking about balance of power in the Senate, when you get out past like Ohio and Wisconsin, then you're getting out west. So even, you know, with the time change, some of those states, is it like Arizona that doesn't have the time change? So it's only an hour back now from Central Time. So, you know, maybe it's not as late, but it's going to be late.
Yeah.
I mean, and there will be all those challenges in major cities where people will be in line at 7.
There's going to be a lot of analysts that have already, they're looking at key precincts. And
like house races and things like that. Because you could also look at, for instance, if you know certain demographic groups usually live in certain areas. And so if you see big turnout in those places that matches turnout from before, there's ways to look. I just don't know if you're going to give a definitive. But that's not, no one should be concerned about that right now. The only thing you should be concerned about right now is making sure you get your vote cast and your friends and family who are conservative get their vote cast. Let your liberal friends figure it out on their own.
Fox has border numbers that they posted today. And they said, per multiple CBP, Custom Border Patrol sources, there were at least 64,000 known or recorded gotaways at the border in October, which is the first month of the fiscal year for 2023. That is an average of 2,000 people successfully slipping past Border Patrol without capture every day, Andy, during the month.
That's pretty outrageous. You know, someone said the other day, and I repeat it, someone asked, what are the border states? You know what the answer to that is? Every state is a border state.
Right.
Every state is facing what the influx of these gotaways are, and the impact is being felt not only in the states that are actually geographically on the border with Mexico, but throughout the United States. So every state is indeed a border state. But this means an average of 2,000 plus people successfully getting past Border control, Border Patrol without capture every single day during the month of October.
I mean, Jordan, that is a mind-numbing number. And then again, I think this plays into the election issue of border security, because now it is, of course, certainly for the states that are on the border, but also every state is now impacted by this.
Right. I mean, when you talk about crime, it involves the border. Fentanyl, that's the border. So right there, it's not just illegal immigrants. It's all the issues surrounding that, which they break up in the polling, but you could, you know, so start combining that. If you care about crime, the border, and fentanyl, you're likely a Republican voter tonight. I mean, that's the truth. If that's an issue that you're voting on, I think, again, and you've been educated on the issue. So you look at how many different ways it breaks. It breaks down into the violent crime that we're seeing in streets all across the country, both in urban areas and suburban areas. And it doesn't really matter where you live when it comes to fentanyl. And when you hear numbers like that, the average used to be a couple thousand gotaways. That's, you know, a lot, but again, we're a huge country. 64,000 That's a small town. That's a big town and a medium-sized city.
You know what would be an interesting issue? I'd like to...
A month.
While we got some phone lines open, I'd like to know from our listeners, what are the three issues, two or three issues, that are the most important to you that you're voting on, either you've already voted or you're voting tomorrow? 1-800-684-3110. We got lines open. 800-684-3110. What issues are impacting? Is it inflation? Is it the economy? Is it the border? Is it China? Is it the situation in Eastern Europe? 1-800-684-3110. I suspect a lot of it's going to be energy independence issues, but it'd be good to hear from everybody on that. Again, our phone lines are open, 800-684-3110. All right. Talking about issues that have got people concerned, we filed a brief on election integrity. Because this is where people need to understand, Jordan, that the voting system, do not vote because people are saying, oh, my votes aren't going to be counted. We filed a brief in the U.S. District Court in Atlanta from the Northern District of Georgia representing every Republican member of the Georgia delegation to the House. And then some of the leadership of the House of Representatives, Steve Scalise, Stefanik, all these others. Members of Congress that joined our brief, and we were successful. So people need to understand, Andy, that as this idea that I'm not going to vote because I don't think my vote's going to count, people, there's record numbers of
voters. We cannot win if you
lose.
We cannot win. And by the way, I've not seen from President Trump, from others, no one has been talking that way this time. I think everybody, there was a wake up call last election cycle. This idea of questioning the system so much that people don't go vote does not work. You cannot win if you don't get votes in. It's just impossible. I mean, do not rely on courts to save you. They will not. Because if you don't show up to vote, there's nothing to fight against.
There is a record number of voting taking place right now.
Yeah, in Georgia, 7 million registered voters, 2.4 million have already voted. And early voting is now over because voting actually in person begins tomorrow. But this suit that you referred to, Jay, the government filed a suit against the state of Georgia, against its implementation of its Voter Integrity Act. And Judge Boulay, a U.S. District Judge in Atlanta, denied the government's, the United States, the Department of Justice's motion for a preliminary injunction against the enforcement of that law, saying, among other things, that a state does not have to wait for actual interference or violence or intimidation to erupt near a polling place to act. It may take precautions to protect and facilitate voting. So you don't have to wait for damage to the election system in order to implement corrective measures. And Georgia was permitted to take remedial action in the face of those activities.
I put on the screen, you just saw it, a copy of the brief that we filed. We were successful in that case. And as I said, in conjunction with our government affairs office, we were able to represent the entire Republican Georgia delegation, as well as House leadership from the other states, obviously, that are not Georgia. And we were successful. So don't buy into this whole idea that your vote's not going to count. Every vote counts. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Phone calls are lighting up. We got one line open, 800-684-3110. Jordan, let's take a call.
Yeah, Kimberly back in Pennsylvania on line two is back with us. Hey, Kimberly.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, gotcha. Great.
Great, guys. Thanks for everything you're doing. I'm from Pennsylvania. I want you to know, grassroots are on the ground. We've been on the ground all summer, all fall, and all weekend, and we're still continuing. We are out there for Mastriano. Grassroots are knocking doors for Oz. And the top three things, let me just tell you, I'm sorry, but election integrity is number one in Pennsylvania. Number two is the economy, obviously. And number three is the ugly rhetoric coming at the conservative voter from Biden when he appears in front of Philadelphia with red lights.
Yep. And Kimberly, let me talk to you about this election integrity in Pennsylvania, because your Supreme Court just ruled that ballots that were not properly dated will not count, because that's what the legislation passed and the law of Pennsylvania is. I took a case for the former president up to the Supreme Court, the only one I worked on on the election, and got a stay from Justice Alito on that very issue. And again, so people need to understand, we appreciate you calling in, that it is making a difference. Tightening up the laws didn't tighten up the amount of people that could vote. It just tries to eliminate fraud. But the record number of turnout shows you that the system is actually working.
Well, that's absolutely right, Jay. You know, this idea and this allegation by the Democrats and a lot of the candidates, for example, in Georgia, that there is voter suppression. suppression is belied by the fact that we have had now the most voters voting in a Georgia election ever in the history of the state since 1776. We have had the biggest voter turnout. How can you say that there is voter suppression when you've had a record turnout of early voters?
Because,
you can't.
Yeah, but so what they do is they change it. It's exactly what Jordan said. So yeah. Now Stacey Abrams, running for governor of Georgia, says it's not voter turnout. It's disinformation.
Right. So a week ago, she was saying, you know, this was like with the Karine Jean-Pierre, oh, you can have record turnout and voter suppression. They're past that now because that does not make any sense. There's record black turnout in Georgia. Yeah. We're seeing it. So now it's black men are being misled in Georgia. And so we'll play that sound for you when we get back from the break. It's, you know what Stacey Abrams is setting up? Another election denial.
Yeah. Well, she's already done that. And
what's amazing is how many election deniers are on the left. They are like ready to go. This is their new talking point. And she is number one. She's the leader. She still never conceded the first 4 years ago. So when they talk about Donald Trump, they talk about the legal battles and all those issues. Remember, the election deniers like Stacey Abrams, they put hundreds of millions of dollars behind it. She's already setting up why she was going to lose. Let's make sure she does lose. No. They would hope that you think she's just going to. That's part of their strategy, too. Part of her strategy is, oh, it doesn't look good for us. And then guess who doesn't show up? Republicans. Don't buy into that, Georgia voters. Get out the vote. We'll be right back on Secular. This is Stacey Abrams, and the reason why I focus on her is not so much that's because from Georgia, and not because it's a very close race, it is, but because she's also a leader of the Democrat Party. She gets some of the most money. She has put together one of the bigger ground games, and I think win or lose, she's going to be someone that we're going to have to be dealing with on a national level, likely. Now, unless it's just, you know, this is someone who just can never get across the line, can't actually get the victory, eat that, even when other Democrats in the state were winning. So take a look. This is last week. Now, this is what they were trying to confuse us with. Wow, there's record turnout, but also you could still have voter suppression. It made no sense. But take a listen. This is on MSNBC with Stacey Abrams with Byte 10.
What is your expectation for black voter turnout in this election by election day? We know early voting has started. How do you see the numbers? Where do you see
the numbers?
Go ahead.
The numbers are extraordinary. We have seen black men participate at 91.8% of their 2020 general election turnout. We have seen black women participate at 90%. These are the two highest concentrations of voters.
Okay. So she was excited then.
That's, you know, great turnout, no voter suppression, no problem.
No, but now listen, she's not happy about the 91% black male voter turnout. Like she specifically pointed out.
Are these the same ones that control the ultrasound machines, the same men?
I guess. Listen to Byte 5. Now, this is yesterday.
And I do not believe it's because of a deep well of enthusiasm for my opponent. We know that black voters are often discounted. And unfortunately, this year, black men have been a very targeted population for misinformation, not misinformation about what they want, but about why they want what they deserve. And my campaign has been the only one that has very intentionally, thoughtfully, and consistently reached out. That has been misconstrued as concern when it indeed is just respect.
You know, she is running behind.
They don't want all the voters to vote because when all the voters to vote,
that's the problem.
And people are worried about the economy, they ain't voting for Stacey Abrams. That's it.
Exactly right. And that's why she was.
By the way, Herschel Walker is going to be popular among some black male voters.
He's a Heisman Trophy winner, Georgia Bulldog national champion, of course.
Yeah, and he's a black man.
Yeah.
That you're going to send to Washington, D.C.
Right.
So it's you're not losing representation as a black man by sending Warnock home, who's a nut.
Yeah.
I don't think he's representative of most black men in Georgia.
No.
Warnock. He's too extreme on the issues.
As is Stacey Abrams, but let's take
the
calls.
Yes, they're not like, they don't care enough about the basic core issues.
Yeah.
They're talking about Israel. They're talking about voter suppression and Israel and Jews, and they won't talk about economy and inflation because those aren't good topics for them right now.
And by the way, you're talking about anti-Israel? Your new name, too, right there.
I'm hoping that the Georgia victory over Tennessee is a good sign for Hersh.
Save that for
everything
your podcast.
Everything helps, though.
You can save that for your podcast?
Yeah, but everything
they're
helps.
They're doing their podcast.
Things like that help.
Brothers, yeah.
There were a lot of events around there. Herschel had a big event there.
I'm sure
outside
did.
The game. I mean,
Georgia did have a good
there.
Game.
And so, I mean,
Georgia played well. Tennessee played well.
People going into it more positive.
All right, here we go.
All right, back to the phone. So we're just going to go take as many as we can. We'll start with Lynn in Washington State on line four.
If the Senate goes Republican, Congress, you know, the House and Senate, Joe Biden has just recently said there is not going to be any more oil drilling, none whatsoever.
He can stop that still for the next 2 years with his veto power. I don't think we have a number to override a veto. No one's predicting any kind of like that.
66.
In the
Senate. Nope.
Now, what does that mean? He's not going to get new legislation to support a new Green Deal, to more new Green Deal that's already been supported. But you do have to be realistic. Be fair to what Republicans are actually going to be able to accomplish going into this. What they can stop is new funding.
Yep.
They can stop some of the bleeding. That's the truth.
I think that's exactly right. Let's go to Ron in New York on line five. Hey, Ron, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air, and we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Ron, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, first off. And you guys, I listen to you all the time. You get me all fired up.
Good.
And good. I'm definitely voting tomorrow. My biggest concern is our borders.
Yes.
We all, in this conversation, have had forefathers twice, and now they're opening the borders and letting in people we don't even know.
Andy gave those numbers earlier. You can give them again, but the number is breathtaking of what they call gotaways. I mean, it's unreal. And it's not just border states, as Andy said. Now every state's a border state.
That's right. You know, you're looking at an influx of 2,000-plus people successfully evading Border Patrol without capture every day during the month of October.
It's an unreal number.
That's 64,000 people, you know, have been recorded that's having come in.
All right, let's take another phone call, Jordan, if we can. 1-800-684-3110. We'll take Warren's.
Yeah, Warren in Idaho on line one. Hey, Warren.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. We appreciate all you do.
Thanks.
My top concern definitely is the economy, you know, and then also border security. I have family that lives on the border down there south of Tucson, and they say it's horrendous.
Yeah, and then you also listed, I saw from our call screener, you also listed energy independence. I think, look, they're all related in a sense. I mean, the economy is impacted by our energy independence, and the border is just, you know, taxing our resources. So all of those, this is important to hear from you, the voters who are casting your vote already or will be casting tomorrow. Let's go right back to the phones. Daniel from Connecticut is on line three. Hi, Daniel.
Hi. First and foremost, God bless the ACLJ.
Thanks.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Keep up the good fight. Sure. And to pick up on, I'm down in the southwest Connecticut, and to pick up on what Andy said, you're talking about, we are border states.
It's just too much noise. I think you said you're Connecticut. Top two concerns, border life. There's a race there. Is there a race competitive in Connecticut?
Blumenthal is actually having some trouble.
Blumenthal. Wow. So, I mean, that's like the wave. So get out the vote. That's all I can say. There was just, maybe it's windy up there in the northeast.
Connecticut, they could have been having some weather. Let's go ahead and take Bill from Maryland.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks. In answer to your question a few minutes ago, what three things concern me the most? And I said, the border, the border, the border.
Yeah.
Because it affected me right on my street. Two doors away from me, I have a group. There are a group of illegal aliens there. And I've called Homeland Security twice on them. And they come. They don't tell me when they come. But I can tell when they come, because then I'll find, a week later, pickup trucks coming and
so
taking up.
So this is what we go back to saying, that the border, Andy.
Relocation.
Yes, it relocation.
Has been a lot to the north. Remember all those secret flights going up to the north? And they were land in New York.
That's why the border is affecting
tri-state area.
Every single state now.
This caller was from Missouri. That's not geographically near the border, but it's consistent with what I said. Every state is a border state in the United States, not just Arizona and New Mexico and California and Texas. Here's a man from Missouri.
Jordan, so, all right, so you've got your podcast today.
Yeah.
Y'all are doing the Secular Brothers podcast, secularbrothers.com. You can tell, you get it on Facebook, Rumble, YouTube, but also wherever you get Spotify, Pandora,
New way to at ACLJaction.org. We've got a letter writing campaign set up to oppose Biden's oil and gas price hikes. 6,500 people have already participated in that. The email went out. So that's at ACLJaction.org. It's a way to get involved. And it's set up for, it's a great system. I'm looking at mine, it's got my House member, two senators already in place there. We have preset text, but then you can add, we want you to add some of your own text. That's at ACLJaction.org.
And don't forget to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We are in November already. We're in our matching challenge campaign, November, December, the two biggest months for us. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. And Jordan's going to tell you, this affects everything we do, from our radio work to our legal work to our legislative affairs work and our government oversight.
That's right. And at ACLJ.org, you can double the impact of your donation right now. So a $25 donation will be matched by another donor, so it's like $50 for us. You got to make the initial donation. That's at ACLJ.org. Talk to you on Election Day tomorrow.